The United States and China are continuing trade talks after making some progress over this weekend. The talks led President Trump to delay raising tariffs on Chinese imports. And Trump said today he'll hold a summit with China's leader to sign any final trade deal if they get there. One of the areas where negotiators reportedly came to a compromise had to do with China's requirement that American companies hand over technology if they want to do business in China. Details of any compromise on that are still a bit sketchy, but we know that artificial intelligence is a key form of technology both countries are deeply interested in. China has been a leader in this field, and we want to take a closer look at the issue now. Let's bring in Gregory Allen. He's an adjunct senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security in Washington, D.C. Greg, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me on.
So first, the term artificial intelligence can encompass a broad array of technology, voice recognition, and much more. Give us some real-life examples of what we're talking about here.
Sure. The term artificial intelligence, what it means has changed over time. What we currently use today as tax preparation software, such as TurboTax, was very successfully marketed as artificial intelligence in the 1980s, but nobody would call that AI today. The most recent innovations around artificial intelligence relate to machine learning, which is a sort of new domain of computer programming whereby, rather than a human typing in every line of code by hand, the machine, based on applying an algorithm to a data set, in a sense, programs itself. And that's a bit of an oversimplification, but it really does get at the heart of what machine learning is and also what the kind of capabilities that it enables. So many things that in the past we would have said are impossible for computers to automate are suddenly on the horizon. There was actually a major book in 2005. The essential gist of the book was what computers can't do, and making a left turn into ongoing traffic was a canonical example of something that is impossible to automate. And that was true before machine learning really hit its stride in the past 5 or 7 years. Nobody would say that driverless cars are impossible, and in fact, they appear to be right on the horizon.
And machine learning can be used for everything from driverless cars to education.
Absolutely. I mean, machine learning is why language translation has become so high quality of late, why voice recognition software, which used to be awful, is suddenly quite good. It's at the heart of the Amazon Echo, the ability to hear your voice, translate that into actual text that can be used for a computer interface. The same is also true with image recognition. It used to be quite difficult for a computer, when given an image, to say what is in the image. Now that's a really high performance capability, and in fact, in some areas, you can actually beat human experts using AI systems.
Gregory, President Trump signed an executive order this month to invest more in artificial intelligence. How does it compare to what China is investing?
Sure. I would say we don't entirely know yet. Most of what this executive order does is get the ball rolling on increasing investment in artificial intelligence. So the fiscal year 2020 budget process is still underway. And this executive order directs the heads of federal agencies engaged in research and development to formally make AI a research and development priority, to begin measuring what they are spending agency-wide on artificial intelligence, and to significantly increase in that amount in line with declaring and AI a priority. So the actual budget totals of what the federal government is going to spend on AI, we don't really know yet. I do think it is safe to say, though, that historically, over the past years, China has demonstrated significantly greater levels of strategic focus and funding when it comes to artificial intelligence. As just one example, the largest federal program of which I'm aware is at the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, and they are spending $2 billion on AI research and development over 5 years. By comparison, the province of Shanghai in China, which is a city government, is planning on spending in U.S. dollars $15 billion over 10 years. So literally, we have the U.S. federal government at present, you know, at risk of being outspent by a provincial government of China. They are really spending jaw-dropping sums on this area.
So Trump's executive order tells heads of federal agencies to look more deeply at AI and look at investing in it, but a lot of details still to be worked out. And the real innovation is going on at private companies in Silicon Valley, mostly in the U.S., yes?
That is certainly the case. The U.S. government does important work in AI research, but so far it has been heavily outspent by the private sector.
We know China has been aggressively moving in this field, but what is their strategy? You've visited China several times, and how is it different from the U.S. government's approach?
Yes, I went to China four times in the second half of 2018 and had an exciting opportunity to engage with Chinese diplomatic officials, military officials, and executive in China's technology sector. I'll say the first thing that struck me was the level of strategic prioritization of AI. It really does go all the way up to President Xi Jinping in China, who really has said AI is a priority for this government all the way down. And the other thing that really struck me was the strength of Chinese companies in this area. As just one example, using machine learning for voice recognition, the achievement of a system that could beat average human performance using an AI system, that occurred in China actually before it occurred in the United States. So they really are making real progress in advancing the state of the art in AI research and development. And they're also having tremendous success at commercializing their AI research into companies and venture capital ecosystems. All of that is quite strong in China. The other thing that I thought was quite interesting was the connection of all of this effort in China to military. The official Chinese AI strategy declares a policy of what translates into English as military-civil fusion, whereby commercial AI developments are then leveraged into military technology. And that's a real contrast from the United States. The Department of Defense has rather openly said it's trying to engage with the innovators in Silicon Valley and having difficulties doing so. In China, there are a lot more tools to either legally coerce the cooperation of commercial companies or just to incentivize them with lots and lots of money.
There isn't the quasi-firewall we have in the U.S. China is more aggressively, from a national security standpoint, moving ahead with AI militarization.
Yes, and they say rather openly their goal for artificial intelligence is to, you know, to transform their military and make it into the strongest military in the world. Mm. They sort of define the current era of technology as information technology, what we now know as IT, and they apply that to military sphere. And they say the future is one of intelligentized technology, and that's a future based on AI technology. Their hope is that they will have an advantage in adopting AI technology, and they will use that to build a military that is stronger than that of the United States. And it was remarkable. They say all this quite openly.
So from your research, China has significant strengths in AI, but what, in your view, are its weaknesses?
Yes, and this is important. China is extremely strong in research and development. If you go to any international AI conference, Chinese researchers will be presenting their papers there. They will often be quite good papers. They are also strong at the venture capital ecosystem and turning research into commercial companies. But they are not equally strong in all areas. There are areas that they identify correctly as their own weaknesses. So the first one I would point out is that of top talent. A Chinese university, Tsinghua University, did a very interesting sort of global census of AI talent. And what they found is that while the United States and China had the largest AI talent ecosystems and are, you know, roughly equal there, when it comes to top talent, the sort of best of the best in the AI research and development community, China actually ranks ninth rather than number two. They actually identify themselves as having fewer than 1,000 individuals in the entire, you know, country of 1.3 billion individuals who really rank in the upper echelon of AI talent. It's not entirely clear, you know, what level of a disadvantage that actually poses. It has not prevented China from, its current level of success in advancing the state of art in R&D and also commercializing. But it is certainly something that Chinese government officials are paying attention to, and they have radically increased their spending in the Ministry of Education to try and develop new training programs and university education programs that put AI first.
Gregory, we're about out of time. Briefly, what single U.S. policy do you think could help America advance in the AI field?
I think there's so many precursors that affect your ability to effectively implement AI. You have to be thinking about what types of data are you collecting? How are you storing it? Is it ready to be machine readable? And so I think as the U.S. government is thinking about effective policies for AI, they need to think not only about promoting research and development and advancing the state of the art, although that is important, they also need to think about the policies within government for how we're going to use AI and what it can make it easier to adopt AI in the service of executing the government mission. I think that's an important area and one that I hope will be prioritized in the coming months.
Gregory Allen is an adjunct senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security. Greg, thanks so much.
Thank you for the opportunity.